Good morning. Good morning, Greater New Bedford. It's the day before Thanksgiving, and you'll be doing a lot of driving. Let me remind you to make sure you and the people you care about know how to get in touch with South Coast Towing. South Coast Towing, Chris Medeiros, Man of the Year for the Prince Henry Society, and that's the people you want with you on the side of the road, whether you've been in an accident, your car broke down. South Coast Towing, how can you find them? Well, they sponsor the app at WBSM. So if you have the WBSM app, when you pull it up, usually they're right there with their phone number. But also, for your kids and stuff like that, just have them make sure they have it in their wallet or in their phone, right? I guess in their phone. South Coast Towing. Great people over there, all the way from Chris and sister, but all the employees as well. Great people at South Coast Towing. So, what are we doing today? All right. So, we're going to have Mike Keneally calling in later in this hour. Mike Keneally's running for governor. He was Secretary of Admin. He was Economic Development under Charlie Baker. Dartmouth graduate, Harvard Business School. Very nice guy. He's been in here. Been to restaurants in the area with us. Went to Inner Bay with us. And I talked to him quite a bit, actually, Mike Keneally, who's running for governor. He'll be calling us because he's got a number of things that are going on with his campaign. Had a very important press release. Tim Dunn from Boston Herald. You should always be following Tim Dunn. He's on Truth Social. He's on X. He's on Facebook. He's at the Boston Herald now. He used to be our news director. Now he's at the Boston Herald. Tim Dunn is doing a lot of really good stories, really important stories. And remember, he was born and raised in the suburbs of New Bedford, Mattapoisett specifically. And he's one of us, right? So follow Tim Dunn, right? So Mike Keneally put out a press release yesterday and talked to Tim Dunn about it, but at the Boston Herald. He's pledging that he is going to disclose all the documents regarding the cocaine, alleged cocaine trafficking by Mara Healey's senior staffer. I thought, perfect. That's great. And we'll talk more with Mike Keneally about that when he calls in about 9:30 is when Mike's going to call. And remember, he was in the administration of Charlie Baker. So he knows the internal workings of the state government. So what's really interesting about that is he knows what Governor Healey is not with disclosing, right? That he will disclose if and when he's elected governor. And there's other things we want to talk to about with Mike Keneally. What did you think of my conversation with the mayor yesterday? Obviously it was yesterday. It will not be today. He's traveling. If you've been following WBSM.com, you know about the crackdown. The mayor and I talked about it yesterday. He's cracking down on the scooters, the mopeds, the dirt bikes. That really, really make it a hassle living in the city of New Bedford. I mean, really, there is no reason for these gangs of mopeds and scooters and dirt bikes racing, marauding up and down the streets, making it difficult for pedestrians, making it uncomfortable for people with actual motorized vehicles, automobiles, and street legal motorcycles to traverse the streets of the city of New Bedford. Plus, it's noisy. It's really noisy. And it's intimidating on purpose? I mean, they're trying to be intimidating. You know that. And by the way, these are not children, all right? I told a story yesterday. I was about 15. I think I was 15 when I got in trouble for riding an unauthorized vehicle, uninsured, unlicensed, on Route 18 in Freetown, right? I had to go to court, all the rest. But I was a child. I was 15. I knew better, but that's the point. I did know better. But, you know, you do kind of what you want when you're 15. Guys, read the ages of these people when WBSM has the stories. They're in their 20s. Some are even in their 30s. These are adults, men. They're men. Riding scooters, dirt bikes, four-wheelers. Four-wheelers on the streets of New Bedford. It's crazy. Crazy. It's chaos. So, is it too little too late? I don't think so. I don't think it's ever too late. Because there's a new idiot born every day, right? Just because some, you know, they weren't, the police have a delicate role here. I was speaking with a retired police officer this morning. And we were talking about how much different it is today for the police when it comes to dealing with people on dirt bikes, scooters, illegal motorcycles, racing around on the streets. And I know from another police officer telling me that part of the thrill for these people is they're trying to stimulate a chase by the police. I'm not going to use his name, but a police officer recently retired told me a story, you know, from New Bedford about pursuing, within reason, an illegal motorcycle driven by a young man, but there was a young woman on the back and she was filming it. Filming the police, chasing them, and I believe he said to me, or his suspicions were, she was putting it up on Facebook Live, that she was broadcasting them being chased by the New Bedford Police Department on Facebook. Now, it was a very controlled pursuit. I know that because I know the training and the judgment of that now retired officer. But I'm really enthusiastic that the mayor and the new chief and the rank and file of the police are going to really prioritize this. The other thing that the mayor brought up yesterday was that they need a change in state law. A change in state law that will allow them to confiscate, and in his dream, right, they'd be able to destroy them. Run them over with a steamroller, maybe something like that, right? Just crush the bikes so they wouldn't have them anymore. Not give them back to them because they have the title, but you're committing a crime. You're marauding on the streets of New Bedford or Fairhaven or Dartmouth, Freetown. The police confiscate your bike. You're not getting it back. You've lost it. And Mayor Mitchell's, in his vision of how the state law would work, it would allow the police to destroy the thing. And I support that. Again, that would require some changes in state law. But I also learned yesterday after the program that Representative Chris Markey of Dartmouth and New Bedford, thank you, Tim, and a former prosecutor for Bristol County, right, under Paul Walsh, he's filed a legislation to allow the police to keep the motorcycles or confiscate them. I don't know if his goes as far as to destroy them, allow that. I'm not really sure. But what do you think of that? And then other than that, it's kind of open phones. Again, like I said, we'll be joined by Mike Keneally running for governor here later in the hour. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the program. Citywide Glass, you got to get that windshield fixed, right? If you got a cracked windshield now or in the future, because you're going to have one, or any glass on the vehicle, call Citywide Glass. They're located in Dartmouth and Fall River and on the internet, citywideglass.net. They will send the mobile tech team out to your home or your work parking lot, and they'll fix that cracked windshield. They'll replace it. They'll bill your insurance company. It will not, and all insurance is accepted. It will not cost you a dime. So, unsightly, dangerous, cracked windshields. You got to get them fixed. It's merely a phone call or a keystroke. Citywide Glass, citywideglass.net. Call them in Dartmouth. Call them in Fall River. They'll come right to your home or your work and fix that windshield. Do it before it cracks. Even more makes it impossible to drive. This cold weather's not good for cracked windshield. All right, we'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. By the way, in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have Chris Ryan from the Republican State Committee explaining how you can become a delegate to the Republican State Committee for this upcoming convention next year. Should be really good because those caucuses are going to be happening all over South Coast, all over the state pretty soon. So you want to stick around for the 11 o'clock hour. Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
You had this boy believing way beyond the shadow.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. It is day before Thanksgiving, right? I will not be here tomorrow, so please don't worry. Nor will I be here on Friday. It's pre-planned, right? Pre-planned. So where will I be? Well, I'll be at Shooting Supply. Shooting Supply's Black Friday sale is too big to fit into just one day. That's right, Shooting Supplies Black Friday sale is happening all week long. New items added every day with super duper specials for Black Friday and Saturday. Check out shootingsupply.com for the latest deals. Smith & Wesson guns starting at just $399. You can get a 12-gauge shotgun for only $149. And 9mm pistols, just $349. Plus, huge savings on ammunition. You don't want to miss out. Go to shootingsupply.com. That has all the best deals happening now. Or you can just go right over to Westport Shooting Supply. By the way, they have gift certificates as well. So, Shooting Supply. For those of you that are like me, that like to read U.S. Senate reports, right? This is a pretty brief one. I want you to look this up. It's very easy to look up. It's called Flight Risk. Flight Risk. Not the movie. Flight Risk, the U.S. Senate report. It's the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. It is all about the Biden-Harris border patrol, border policies, and how they use the airports to increase illegal immigration and migration into the country under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, with the complicity of all the Democrats in that administration, state Democrats, local Democrats, and of course, congressional Democrats. The U.S. Senate report is called Flight Risk. It's only 47 pages. Why do I bring it to your attention? Well, this U.S. Senate committee investigated Massport, our own airport here in Logan. Logan Airport. Do you remember when the migrants were somehow living in Logan Airport? Right? Sleeping on the floors of Logan Airport. If you went to take a flight to Florida or the Azores, wherever you were going, you were stepping over people from Haiti living in Logan Airport. And you thought, good Lord, what is happening here? Well, it turns out, and now we have the proof, because this U.S. Senate report subpoenaed, they investigated, they took testimony, they've got emails. Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who hired our own Ron Teachman to be their chief of police after he left New Bedford, and quite frankly, was pretty friendly with the mayor of New Bedford, and I think was pretty helpful to the mayor for some grants when he was the Secretary of Transportation. But Pete Buttigieg pressured Massport with a federal grant to keep the migrants there. Now, of course, Mara Healey wanted the migrants because they were playing mess around, trying to increase the population of Massachusetts for the census. But it's all detailed in this report called Flight Risk. Flight Risk, put out by the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, explaining how the federal government and the state government and local officials colluded to bring in migrants, fly them right into Logan Airport, and house them in the airport, despite the fact that you had real security risks just flying around unvetted migrants and then housing them in Logan Airport. Need I say, the origin of the 9/11 terrorist attack, remember, they took off from Logan Airport in part to do the attacks on New York City. But the Biden-Harris administration, all Democrats, Healey administration, and other local officials, known and unknown to the Senate committee, it's all detailed in this very short report, 47 pages. It has the emails and everything else. You want to take a look at this. See where your tax dollars went. And where did they end up? Well, they ended up in the programs paid for by the mass taxpayers, first in the shelter system, and now with vouchers from the home base program. They were flown in directly to Massachusetts and housed at Logan Airport. And anybody who resisted had it explained to them how important the federal financing is to the existence of Logan Airport. So again, I know a lot of you out there, like me, you want to read it for yourself. See the U.S. Senate report. So it's U.S. Senate report, Flight Risk. Just came out the last couple days. The flight report, or rather, Flight Risk. a report of the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce and Science and Transportation details exactly what happened in Massachusetts at Logan Airport, right down to emails and everything else. You can read it yourself. All right, tell you what we're going to do. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Keneally. I want to get his opinion on what happened at Logan Airport, the migrant crisis, but also his promise to you and I, the residents of Massachusetts, for full disclosure on all the documents that Maura Healey is not giving us on the alleged cocaine trafficker in her administration. All right, so we'll take a break and we'll be back with Mike Keneally, candidate for governor. Stick around.
All right. Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
She's got a heart of gold, she never let me down. But you're the one that always turns me on, you keep me coming around.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's the day before Thanksgiving. I think we all have a lot to give thanks for. So we're now going to be joined by Mike Keneally. Of course, Mike has been here a couple times on the phone, certainly, but here in person as well. Been in the South Coast quite a bit. Met a lot of you. A lot of you have really impressed with Mike on his campaign for the Republican nomination to be the governor of this Commonwealth. Let me see here. Good morning, Mike Keneally.
With you as always. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. The sun is shining. It's Thanksgiving. I got all my kids home. We got a great few days planned here. Dinner tomorrow. We do a big thing on Saturday. We invite a bunch of our friends here in Lexington. We'll probably have like 50 or 60 people over during the course of Saturday. Backyard football, lots of food, lots of good family and friend times. It's pretty great. Looking forward to a great few days here.
Oh, that sounds great, Mike. This is a really great time of the year. I think so. So my listeners know, for those who don't know, who are not regular listeners, Mike was tell us what you did for Charlie Baker and what you've done in your life.
Well, sure, Chris. Early in my career, most of my career had been in the private equity business. I did that for 19 years, and I decided in my mid-40s that what I wanted to do the rest of my career was public service. And so at age 45, I embarked on effectively a second career in public service in Massachusetts. So I've done now 12 years full-time trying to deliver for the people of the state, 2 years working on the turnaround of the Lawrence Public Schools, all 8 years in the Baker administration, four of which was in his cabinet as the Housing and Economic Development Secretary, and then 2 years working with the wonderful CEO of Boys and Girls Clubs of Boston on a new strategy to help kids in Boston. So that's been my career, 19 years in private equity, 12 years full-time in public service here, and now looking to be the next governor of this great state.
Mike Keneally, so you know the inner workings of government. You spent time in government. This big fiasco, really embarrassing for everybody in the Commonwealth. Now, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Let's make that statement. But Governor Healey had a person on her staff who has been charged with cocaine trafficking. Not like a little bit of cocaine. I mean, trafficking pounds and pounds of cocaine into a state building. And we really, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. What are you pledging to do should you be elected Governor Mike Keneally?
Well, Chris, I'm pledging to do what Governor Healey has said she will not do, which is release all of the documents around this person's hiring onto her team. And so every email, every text, every part of her personnel file, I mean, something really went wrong here, to say the least.
Yes.
When you bring someone onto your team. And by the way, let me just qualify this a little bit. This is not a junior member of the team, as I think she said in an interview recently. This is the number two person in her Western Mass office. And so this just wasn't a government office. This is the governor's office. You know, the governor's office obviously is in the State House on Beacon Hill, but every governor has a Western Mass office in Springfield. I know she does as well. So So that office where cocaine trafficking happened is an extension or is the governor's office. And so something really went wrong here. And I think the public really expects and deserves answers about it. And we laid this out a couple weeks ago. I called for a full investigation about every aspect of this. You know, who recommended this person? What was the interview process? What was the background check that was done? How was this person selected, presumably among a pool of other applicants? And really, and who did this person work with? Who else is on their team? Who might have or should have known about this? But it really demands that level of accountability and transparency. And it's been clear now over the course of the last few weeks that she's not going to provide that. She basically said as much. So I pledged yesterday that I would provide that level of scrutiny and that level of disclosure about what happened, because the public should have those kinds of answers.
We're speaking with Mike Keneally. Mike, seeking your vote in the Republican primary to be the governor of Massachusetts. What I found really disturbing, Mike, is she gave a press conference and said all the background checks were fine. There was, you know, we don't have to make any changes. And a couple days later, the media, not her, disclosed that, in fact, he'd been arrested for being involved in shooting somebody years earlier. This guy who's now been charged with cocaine trafficking.
Yeah, that's right. And Chris, I mean, there's only two possible outcomes here. One is that they did a background check where that arrest was on the background check and they decided to hire him anyway. Or the second is they did a background check and the background check didn't reveal that. Mm-hmm. If it was the first case, they should explain why they wanted to hire this individual despite the past criminal activity. And if it was the second instance where their background check didn't reveal this, well, they needed to go revisit their background check process,
right,
and find out how the background check missed that. But these are just very logical questions anybody would have looking at the situation. And again, the public should have these answers.
Speaking with Mike Keneally. Mike, affordability, of course, is a big issue, and certainly utility rates. You and I have talked about it here on the air, but also in person. What I thought was outrageous, my friend, former colleague here at WBSM, Tim Dunn, who's now at the Boston Herald, he confronted the governor. She was complaining about Donald Trump and his tariffs causing the rise of energy prices. Tim pointed out that as attorney general, she canceled two gas pipelines. And her reaction was to say, I didn't do that. She blatantly lied to a Boston Herald reporter. Your thoughts on that, Tim?
My thoughts are, as you just said, she lied, and I can't believe she thinks she could get away with that. Her comments about canceling two natural gas pipelines, those are on video.
Yes.
From an interview she did early on in her gubernatorial campaign back in 2022. And we've talked about this. The Mass Fiscal Alliance has as well. I think each of us ran side by side her statements in 2022 and her statement this year, saying that she is now, you know, pro-supply. But, you know, these issues are somewhat the same pattern, if you will, about not treating the voters like adults,
right,
and not reasoning with them and not recognizing that if there are missteps or you say something different than what you said before, you need to explain it. You can't just gloss over things. The public demands a different level of disclosure and a different level of dialogue than that. Had she come out and said, well, of course I said that 3 years ago, but now I feel differently.
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't like the answer, but that would be an answer.
Yes.
But just pretend it didn't happen. I mean, give me a break. That is not how leaders should speak to the people that they are there to serve. And make no mistake, you know, the governor works for the people, not the other way around. And so she owes us answers on this hire in Springfield, and she owes us answers on what apparently we'll see how serious she is about it, a change in heart on energy supply. But you can't just pretend things didn't happen, and you can't lie under any circumstance.
We're speaking with Mike Keneally, seeking your vote in the Republican primary to be the governor of Massachusetts. Mike, the fact of the matter is that the legislature is responsible for most of these increasing electrical bills and gas bills. You were in the Baker administration. He vetoed this Massachusetts Green New Deal bill. The supermajority Democrat legislature overrode it. Recently, some of them tried to revisit it. It got punted, is the word they're using. The Democrats, to include Maura Healey, really aren't serious, in my opinion, most of them, about affordability when it comes to utility. They're more interested in their religion, the Green New Deal.
They're not the least bit serious, Chris. This is an administration and a legislature being driven by a partisan ideological agenda and not a practical outcomes-driven affordability agenda. And so back on November 17th, I called for an independent review of all the climate and green energy spending the state has. And I said we should take a look at all the tax credits, subsidies, grants, regulatory mandates, the total cost of these programs, a full account of how they impact affordability and reliability. We need to look at all that stuff. I said that 2 weeks ago. In the intervening time, there was this bill that very briefly surfaced on Beacon Hill that would have removed the 2030 climate mandate and have that be kind of an aspiration, not a mandate, which I think is the right direction to go in. And wow, did the climate activist get in gear and block that? That bill has now been killed. And so, no, on your point, I don't think this speaks to seriousness on the part of the governor or the legislature about addressing the real needs of the people and businesses of Massachusetts. It speaks to their devotion to a set of activists and an ideological agenda, which is not serving the people well.
We're speaking with Mike Keneally. He's running for the Republican nomination for governor. Mike, I know you've done a lot for the Republican Party. You raised a lot of money when the Republican Party was broke. You're going to need members like thinking people in the legislature to work with you. Otherwise, you know, a lot of what you want to do will be DOA. Talk about your work within the Republican Party and what you'll do to make a stronger Republican team, a more responsive to the affordability agenda. Talk about that.
I really appreciate the question, Chris. So in the roughly 2 years between the end of my time in the Baker administration, the end of the Baker administration and launching my campaign, I was the finance chair for the Mass Republican Party. And over that 2 year period of time, nobody raised more money or personally donated more money to the party, its candidates and its causes than I did. And I take that work seriously, and I tell any Republican audience that, yes, I want to be the governor of all the people for sure, but I'll be the Republican governor. And my work together with folks to make the party strong and our candidates competitive just will never stop. I think it's really important we have a strong Republican Party here to have a strong voice on policy matters like the ones we talked about today and lots of other things. So, yes, I take that work really seriously. There is no one clearly in the field running for governor, and frankly, no one in the state that I think has done more for the party the last couple of years. We really need a strong party. We need strong candidates up and down the ballot in local and state government speaking about these issues. Because the example you brought up where this bill briefly surfaced and was killed by the activists on the Democratic side, you know, we need a strong voice in policy, and we need more people on Beacon Hill advocating for the people of Massachusetts on these matters. Now, in terms of working with the legislature, you know, the legislature now is 85% Democratic. I know a lot of these people from my time as secretary. We managed to get a few things done in the Baker administration as a Republican administration. And so this is a really important point. A Republican candidate can't just say what they want to do. They have to have the wherewithal and the knowledge to actually get it done.
Right.
And there's no one else in the Republican field that can say that. I've got relationships, you know, on Beacon Hill and all across the state that will help me get things done. And when I am the nominee, which I expect to be, and when I win the general election, which I expect to be, I will then have a mandate to get things done on behalf of the people and a big team of people to help me get that done and knowledge of how things work. And I think it's a really, really important point that the campaign cannot just be about Republican slogans and Republican talking points and generic ideas. It's got to be real policies that address the real issues, needs, and opportunities of the people, and an executive that can actually get it done, who's also devoted, as you said, to the Republican Party. I'm the only candidate in the field that can credibly say that.
We have Mike Keneally here. He's running for governor, as you heard him say. Mike, coming up, we're going to have the caucuses, my favorite time of the year, the caucuses to elect delegates to go to the convention. If someone wants to get involved with your campaign or get more, get maybe even learn how to become a delegate, how do they do that, Mike?
I appreciate the question. Go to MikeKeneally.com. It's KenneAly.com. And it's got information about myself and my background and track record, my sense for the issues, which has now been informed by a lot of discussions with a lot of people around the state. I'm closing in now on 100 public events since I launched the campaign back in April. So we've done a lot of listening, a lot of learning, and I encourage people to get involved. We need the help to win the primary, win the general. And I will say, you know, to follow on a bit from your point before, Chris, sure. You know, one thing that's going to be really important to me as governor is to help us elect more Republicans. I think a situation now where the state is, the voters are now 65% independent. Mm-hmm. It's only 8% Republican, but 65% independent. So we're going on 3/4 of the voters are not Democrats, but yet the Democrats control every statewide office, every federal office, and 85% of the legislature. So I think the government is out of step with the people. And one way to fix that is to elect a Republican governor and then have that governor, which I would do, is help us get a lot more Republicans elected in local and state government. That is a firm commitment by me.
We speak with Mike Keneally. He's running for governor. Mike, you spent a lot of time down here on the South Coast. Your thoughts on this part of the state, what you're going to do. My particular thought is the offshore wind industry and all of that and the fishing industry. And just this general area, your thoughts on it. You've been here quite a bit.
I've been there a lot, Chris, and I love coming down there. I love being on your show in person some months ago, and this fishing tour that I did recently, and speaking to what was supposed to be a candidate forum. I spoke in New Bedford recently, so it's always great to be there. Look, you mentioned offshore wind and fishing, and those two industries, of course, are those two issues kind of go together. The offshore wind industry is damaging the fishing industry. And so I think if you had a real energy policy, not a climate agenda, right, you wouldn't be so dedicated to offshore wind. I'm very concerned that offshore wind is effectively an industry created by the government. And I spent a first part of my career in business, you know, working with entrepreneurs to create industries and create companies. That's where that kind of innovation should happen, not by government creating an industry. And so you've got an industry that's a government creation that's really expensive, that's really heavily subsidized. And in a lot of ways is not good for the environment. You've got, you know, wind turbines washing up on beaches and into cranberry bogs, and the damage, I'll come on to fishing now, the damage to the fishing industry is almost catastrophic. These offshore wind projects are really disruptive of the fishing industry. And so I found in my discussions with the fishermen down there, they talk about offshore wind and the damage it has to the industry, also to the fish, by the way. Mm-hmm. And just generally a construct where there's a lot of local, state, and federal regulations, and that gets in the way of their ability to earn a living. And these are mostly small businesses, which are the fabric of our economy and our communities. And so it's a great example of, you know, the government shows up in this case and tells the industry what the rules are. That's very different than working with the industry to figure out what the guidelines should be. And so, again, it speaks to leadership and having leaders that really want to listen and learn and collaborate versus dictate. But a long way of saying I love my travels down there, and I think you need a governor that's going to have a very different view on offshore wind and a very different approach to fishing around listening and learning.
We're speaking with Mike Keneally. Mike, before I let you go, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, but tell people how they can get more information about you, maybe even become a delegate to the convention for your campaign.
Yeah, go to MikeKeneally.com, and it's got all kinds of information about the campaign and ways to get involved, including being a delegate. So I would really appreciate the help to do that. It's a really important race. I've been in the race now for 7.5 months, almost 8 months. I've got kind of two big points I'm making. One is I think Governor Healey's got to go. She's not been an effective governor. And the second is I'm the person to replace her. I'm the only Republican running that has a chance to win the general election and provide much better leadership for the state. So I encourage folks to take a look at the website and get involved.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with that great family you have.
You too, Chris. Thanks so much. You have a great holiday as well. Bye-bye. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Mike Keneally, as I said, running for governor. I told his staff a while ago, after I met him, I said, put that guy in the room with as many people as possible. He's very dynamic. Really. And I'm born and raised here in Massachusetts. And again, I'm staying neutral. I'm giving Keneally. I was going to have Brian Shortsleeve later this morning. He's traveling. Brian will be here on Monday. We'll get him on the phone on Monday. Of course, I had Mike Minogue the other day, and we've had the sheriff in quite a bit promoting Mike Minogue. In the 11 o'clock hour, I'll have Chris Ryan talking about how to become a delegate to the convention, the Republican convention, but he's a supporter of Minogue. So I'm trying to play it down the middle as much as possible here for the Republicans. And, you know, again, I voted for Healey, so you can bang me over the head anytime you want on that. Plumbing emergencies don't wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, we treat every call like it's our own home. Our family-owned business has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands of families with over 700 five-star reviews. We believe customer service is a lost art, and we here at Bass Ready Rooter are here to keep it alive. We may not be your first call, but we'll always be your last call. Visit BassReady.com today. Stick around. Program, I'm Chris McCarthy. Get your car over to Mack Auto Sales. Make it last longer. Beat inflation. That way you don't have to replace it, right? This family-owned business, located on Rivet Street in the city of New Bedford, repairs all makes and models of automobiles. So you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather. Winterize it. Call Mack Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment. 508-565-6221. Open weekdays 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. And don't forget to mention, you heard it right here on WBSM, right? When you're down there, they'll give you a nice little discount. All right, so this report by the U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Transportation, and Science, you got to read it. It's called Flight Risk. It's only 47 pages. You can just read the highlights, read the executive summary. It's all about Logan Airport. Remember when all the migrants were streaming into Logan Airport? They were flown in here. Governor Healey wanted them to use them, in my opinion, to fatten up the population so they could preserve a job for a Democrat, a congressional Democrat, right? They know the state of Massachusetts traditionally gives its electoral college votes to the Democrats and, because of gerrymandering, elects all Democrats to the House. So, when you add people to the population, like migrants, that can preserve a gerrymandered congressional district. It can preserve additional Democrat votes in the Electoral College. And the Biden administration was literally flying them right into Logan Airport. And they were sleeping on the floor of Logan Airport. Now they're sleeping in apartments, houses. They've got brand new cars, all paid for by the tax dollars, the billions that Mara Healey and the supermajority Democrat legislature ladled out to them. Billions. You know that. First, they were in hotels. Now, Healey was afraid they'd be deported, and it's very easy to deport them. You'd bring a big bus right to the hotel, load them up. So she started spreading them around, giving them vouchers from the home base program. So now they're living in houses, apartments, all over the Commonwealth. That's the billions and billions of dollars that our legislative delegation mostly voted for. Remember, Senator Montigny pulled out of that. He voted for the first tranche. After that, he pulled out. He didn't want to do it anymore. But the House all went along with it. Certainly Mark Sylvia, certainly Steve Ouellette, Chris Hendricks, Chris Markey, all of them, they went along with it. Not the Republicans, though.